Welcome to Hype, episode 1? 41? Okay, 40, we really should have decided that before we started. Well, it is number 41, but we are, as you can probably hear, doing things a little bit differently now. My name is Selena, and this is your revamped Hype, because it's kind of like vampire hype.
Yeah.
Sorry, Merrima, we're bringing it back.
Vampires are great. I love vampires.
Yeah, oh, we know you do.
Vampire hype.
So, Hype is hypeable.com's entertainment podcast covering the latest news in television, movies, books, music, and more by fans for fans. Listeners of the old Hype will notice a few differences this week, such as the fact that we're back, for one. We have been off the air for a few months. And our faces are gone, which is... I know, right? Like, I'm just seeing these black, like, holes where our faces should be.
Wasn't that a Doctor Who episode, losing the faces?
Yeah. Yeah,
bringing it all back to fandom, see?
Yay.
This is what I'm here for.
Nothing has really changed. But yeah, as you can hear, we're now an audio-only podcast again, which is sad if you liked to look at us while we spoke, but great for the other 98% of you who didn't. No, we're beautiful. But we do realize that most of you want your news on the go. So we obviously want to accommodate that, and hopefully this can be your way to just catch up on the latest entertainment news and listen to people talk about it. So to give you the best listening experience possible, we have made a few changes to the format, which we'll introduce this week. Hype will still focus mainly on news, but all of the hosts will be able to contribute stories from the past week that they consider to be the biggest, and we'll also be picking a TV show episode each to briefly discuss. We'll talk about fandom-related events, like movie premieres and big show finales. We'll also go over some of the best original articles from Hypeable over the past week, and I think that's everything. You might also notice the lack of a few hosts and the addition of a new voice. Pamela, hello.
Hello. It's nice to be podcasting with all of you again.
Yay. You've been on Hype before, right?
No, actually.
You haven't.
I was going to say, I've been on... No.
Wow. So this is a completely fresh voice, but people might recognize your voice from other podcasts, like the two equally successful podcasts, Imprint and Talks of Camelot. Yeah.
Yes. Imprint, Talks of Camelot,
Vampire
Hype. Yes, I recently did a guest spot on Andrew's show Millennial. So I'm just here, there, and everywhere.
All over the place. You know? That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's hard to keep track. I think I did book hype ones with Merrima, like, back way long.
Wow. Yeah, I think you have done.
Yeah, so it's hard to keep track, but I'm around.
She's everywhere.
Great.
I am.
So, as you can hear, we've still got Merrima and Kyle. So who needs Andrew, am I right? No, but speaking of Andrew, he will be appearing on Hype in the future, but this week he's hanging out in Norlands. Did I say that right? No?
That was pretty good.
Yeah? Norlands?
Yeah.
I practiced that. But yeah, Andrew's a busy man with all his podcasts, but he'll hopefully be on next week. Josh, unfortunately, will not be a regular host anymore on the weekly shows, but he will be heavily involved with a major new Hype podcast feature, which we will be introducing at the end of the show. So let's dive right into our first segment now, which is titled How We Hype. So at the beginning of each show, we'll briefly catch you up on what the hosts have been up to fandom-wise in the past week. And then we'll move on to news, which includes the Mockingjay trailer and the new Beauty and the Beast casting news, and some Nintendo news and the Paper Towns trailer, and all kinds of great stuff that the hosts have picked out from the past week. Yay! So, how we hype? I'm all excited about that. This is a feature that also appears on hypeable.com, actually, as an article. But on the podcast, we'll each outline one fandom-related event from the past week or from next week that they're excited about. So this week, obviously, the biggest things that have happened across fandom has been the Insurgent premiere and the Glee finale, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about in our Show of the Week segment. But has anyone actually watched Insurgent yet?
Yeah, no. I have.
Me too.
I started a couple weeks ago.
Great. Oh, you went to like an early screening, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you like it? Did it live up to your expectations?
I have very low expectations, going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Especially having heard from some of you that saw it early that it was just completely different from the book, which I haven't read in a couple of years. So going in with very low expectations was good, because I ended up, I thought it was pretty good. I like the pacing is a really big thing for me when movies are that long. And I thought that what they did with it kind of worked well as far as like a fast paced movie, because, you know, you still want like the everyman to be able to enjoy these things, even if they haven't read the book. And so given that respect, I think they did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like objectively the movie is not bad, but as an adaptation, it's awful. And the reason
it's so
for that is,
or?
Yeah. And also because there are a couple major changes in it towards the end that make me wonder what direction they're going for Allegiant. And I think I have a bad feeling about how some of those changes are going to go. I don't know. It kind of felt a little bit like they were actively trying to annoy fans. I'm not a huge fan of the Divergent series, but I've read it all. And I did do a reread of Insurgent before I saw it, so maybe that's why it was all so noticeable to me. And, I was also sort of cataloging those things as I was watching it. But yeah, I think I described it to someone else as, it's like an adaptation of overhearing someone else describe the Wikipedia page, and like they adapted that
for
the script.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so different.
That's interesting.
It's crazy different. I can't overstate that. But the movie itself is not bad, and I really like the cast of the Divergent series. So like that's all still really good. But I'm worried it's going to be a bit of a change for the direction of the series as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I won't talk too much about it, but I've actually, like, the fact that it's so different, I don't have a particular attachment to the Divergent series. Like, I've read it and I liked it, but, you know, there's so many adaptations these days, and it is just, like, read the book and watch the movie with pretty people and then move on. So kind of, like, the idea that it was different, it really excited me, but it doesn't sound like it's that exciting that it's different. It just sounds like it's kind of annoying.
Just kind of wonder why they changed, why they felt the need to change it. Because, like, thinking of the series as a whole, like, I felt like Insurgent as a book was much stronger than the other two. Mm-hmm. But that's just my opinion. So I was just kind of, I thought it interesting that they decided to change so much, given that I thought that it was, like, the better of the two. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of trudged along with Divergent. I was like, okay with it, but I felt like Insurgent kind of was the one that made me want to flip the pages more than the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think I liked Allegiant best, so maybe that's why I'm more worried about the direction that this is taking the series, but I agree with you. I think probably the reason that they changed it so much was just to streamline the story a lot more. And really just condense it down to basically a single plot point of, like, how do we open this mysterious box, which everyone has seen in the trailer by this point. I guess the other funny thing is that, you know, that trailer that we saw where Triss is, like, trying to save her mom from the house and it's on fire, and we all said, oh, no, like, that's just a promotional thing. That's in the movie, so get ready for that scene. When I saw that, I was like, oh, no. Oh, dear.
You know what's so, like, happening? You know what's so funny is the only thing that pulled me out of the movie, like, as a whole, and this is probably just me being nitpicky, is the fact that, like, I tend to forget that Theo James is, like, as old as he is when I'm watching Divergent.
Really?
But standing next to, yeah, I just, like, I'm not really thinking about it, you know? But, like, when you see him next to Naomi Watts, right, that's playing his mother, I'm just like, you guys look like you could be married. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It just looks so weird, because she has preserved very well, and then his natural age comes out, and I'm just like, this just, like, I get why you wanted her, because she's a big name, but it just does not work, like.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there for, like, 5 minutes, like, and then I was like, no, Pam, tune back into the movie because you're too hung up on this, and you should probably watch.
So I have been sick all week. Started with like strep throat, and now it's turned into like some other thing. But while I've been sick, I've been home a lot, and I've taken the opportunity to binge watch Netflix shows and pilots. So I finished all of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I saw the pilot for Salem, as well as Pretty Little Liars and some other show that I'm forgetting.
I think you'll like Pretty Little Liars. I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah, I have a feeling, too. I like the first episode, so I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. And Pamela, what about you?
I had a crazy couple of, like, past weeks in fandom with, like, Paley Fest, and then I did this feature on this NBC sitcom. So this week I decided to take it easy, and I picked up a good old-fashioned book. So I started reading this book called Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. And if you are a fan of pop culture, specifically 80s pop culture, you definitely need to pick this up. It's just such a cool book for the nods that this author has like carefully put in there. It's set in the year 2044. And, you know, the real world kind of still exists, but most people plug in like 95% of the time to this virtual reality place called the Oasis. So it's like an interactive like internet pretty much that everybody just exists in. Like you can go to school there, you can work there. People at one point they talk about how people like meet in there and get married without ever like setting foot on the same continent. So people have just kind of embraced this virtual reality that was created by this kind of crazy guy who was really obsessed with like 80s pop culture and stuff like that. So pretty much he dies and he like leaves all these clues behind in the Oasis, and whoever finds this treasure box there after looking through all his clues gets to inherit his fortune because he died without having ever married or reproduced or anything like that. So this teenage guy kind of goes on this journey to kind of crack the code in the Oasis and find the proverbial buried treasure. But I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm about 200 pages in, and I only stopped reading because I had to come on and talk to you guys. So,
Aww. Yeah, we appreciate it.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah. So now we'll know if you're not listening, it's because you're like sneaking in pages.
Exactly.
Cool. And Marima?
I love Ready Player One, so I'm so excited that you're reading that, Pam. I also want to talk about a book I read. Oh, guys, I read this really great book last week. I read a lot of books for book hype and for Hyperball, but this one stood out to me so much. It's called Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. It's by Becky Albertalli, and it's out in Australia this week and in the States in the first week of April. It's about this teenage kid who he's 16, and he has like this online romance with this other boy from his school, and they meet on the school's like unofficial sort of gossip Tumblr. They start emailing each other. They don't know who each other is. They just know that they go to the same school, but they try and keep it anonymous. And, you know, it's like they're both still in the closet, so they're still like navigating sexuality. He logs onto his email at a school computer, and another boy catches a glimpse of his emails, takes a screenshot, and threatens to out him to the school as gay unless he helps set this boy up with a girl that they're both friends with. So it's this really, I mean, you know, it sounds kind of weird, but I don't know, like teenagers. It's really funny. It's so beautifully written. It's a debut book, which I just think is so, so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in Georgia. So it also has like a lot of kind of race things going on. And, you know, this idea of like, maybe it's easy in movies and TV to like come out in New York or in like San Francisco, but it's a little different when you live in the South. And there's just so much going on in it. And I really, really love it. And you know, the marketing team have been comparing it to John Green and Rainbow Rowell. And, you know, there's definitely, if you like those kinds of books, I'm sure you can get into this as well. But I don't know, there's so much depth in it. It's so beautiful. I can't overstate it so much. It's just, you know, you have those books where you just need to like thrust it at every person you meet in the street and be like, read this book immediately. So that's definitely this book for me. I think it's my favorite one I've read so far this year. So very, very good. Very good.
Awesome. Well, I'm probably going to read both of those. I've basically just been reading like my old favorite, like Terry Pratchett sections, because obviously he died just over a week ago. I mean, I'm sort of going into nostalgia mode with him, but actually that is kind of one of our news stories. So I think that segues in pretty nicely. So our news section, which is coming up next, is the main portion of the show. Basically, it's going to work a lot like it did in Hype, the original Hype, the OG Hype. But instead of me reading every story, we've divided them up. So everyone has picked three news stories from the past week that they think are the biggest and most interesting and most like most closely related to fandoms that they are interested in. So everyone will be introducing like three stories each, and then we'll really briefly talk about them and move on. And Marima is first up because I think she won this week. She picked the biggest yes. story, arguably, with Pamela a close second. So let's talk about Mockingjay.
Yeah, talking about book to film adaptations. So we had the very first teaser trailer for Mockingjay Part 2 was released. And we also had the first poster. And, you know, okay, maybe it's not a lot to get excited about. Like, all you're seeing is the Mockingjay transform. But I know for a lot of fans, that's really exciting. For me, what is so exciting about this is that it means it's the start of their, you know, campaign for Mockingjay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we can all agree that they have been killing it in terms of the, like, media campaigns for these films. So it's all happening, it's all getting started, and it's so exciting.
It's really cool. I love the focus on the past. Like, that got me excited, because, I mean, it is a part two, which is always a little bit like, more of the same, but all those quotes from past Mockingjays, Hunger Games, just got me in the mood.
Yeah. And the Mockingjay looks so good. Yeah. They do such a great job with that.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I am a terrible fan of the Hunger Games series because I did not watch this online. So the first time I saw it was before Insurgent. And as a trailer in a movie theater, I think I was just expecting more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it was cool, but I was just kind of like, even if they had like a flash of something, I think it would have just held up better in a theater. And it just kind of brought me back to the days where, like, you only were able to watch trailers in movie theaters. Like, you had to go see the new Harry Potter trailer at the movie theater. Like, they wouldn't release it on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Online for a couple of days. So I don't know. But I did like the focus on just the past films and trying to kind of link them all together. I just kind of wish there had been more.
Yeah. I found the teaser trailer of Katniss running in the woods more exciting than this one.
Well, we'll have
to
wait.
It's the first
to see
one.
If there's more. Yeah, exactly.
There's
yeah,
more coming. Mm-hmm. I am the world's number one fan of the Hunger Games film series, so like, don't even start me on this. But I will be talking about this every single week. Don't worry about it until this comes out in November.
Cool. So the second news story is another trailer for another popular young adult book. ..
Sorry, I had to unmute my mic. yes, so fans of John Green and nerd fighters all over the world will be excited because Paper Towns trailer is finally here. We finally got our first look at Cara Delevingne and Nat Wolff in action in this movie. And I think overall, like, I was kind of like reading through fan reactions online. You're always going to have those people that say that they like they gave too much away. But as a cohesive trailer, I felt like it really captured just like the road trip aspect of the book itself. And that's kind of why I liked it, because I don't know. I'm a kind of like a sucker for road trip, like mm-hmm. discovery type movies, you know, like
that it's,
whether it's personal
movie.
Discovery, Crossroads. Yes.
Classic so, film.
Yeah.
You know what? You've just totally, man, I feel like I'm in a therapy session. Maybe it all just goes back to Brittany.
Everything.
It always goes back to Brittany. Always.
Yeah. I mean, overall, like, I mean, obviously we haven't seen a lot of Cara Delevingne as Margot, and I know a lot of people are really concerned about that. But for a first trailer, I really thought they did a really good job. What did you guys think? I mean, have you guys read the book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Paper Towns was my mm-hmm. favorite John Green novel.
Mine, too.
Oh, interesting.
And so I'm really looking forward to this. It it makes me really want to read it again, because Paper Towns was actually the first John Green novel I've ever read, and it introduced me to him as an author. And so I've forgotten, like, the details, as everyone does, like, when they read a book, like, several years ago, they kind of forget, like, things. So, well, when I heard that they took out some... scenes from like what was it, Waterworld? Or no, it was like SeaWorld. SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. I was pretty mad because that was actually one of those scenes that I did remember from the book. I was like, dang it. But I'm really looking forward to this. And I'm looking at it right now on my shelf, and I'm probably going to read it before the movie comes out.
Yeah, it's my favorite too. I feel like everyone's favorite is Fault in Our Stars, and obviously that is amazing. But
you know what? My favorite is An Abundance of Catherines.
I haven't read that.
My favorite is Will
one.
Grayson. Oh. Will Grayson.
That is great.
Really?
Too.
Really? It's only I love that we all have different daunting favorite books.
Yeah. Well, they're all good.
I really like the trailer, and the other thing I really liked about it, although, you know, I have to say I'm not really sold on her acting yet because I just haven't seen enough of her, but I think Nat Wolff's going to be great. But it kind of looked like, I can't remember her name, but Radar's girlfriend looks like she goes on the road trip with them as well because she seemed to be in the car when they were running around.
Yes.
And if that's good, like, I think that's a great decision to, like, add in more female presence, female characters, because this was very, like, dude heavy from memory in the book, so I feel like that's a really nice change if that's what's happening.
Yeah
it should make for an interesting twist. I agree.
Yeah, so everyone likes it. That's awesome. Yeah. I think it's, I'm really excited for this. I wasn't until
it looks,
I saw
really
the trailer,
cute,
but it does look really cute.
I just, you know, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if they don't create Bluefish to market for this film, then I'm gonna be so mad. And if you guys don't remember what that is, it was the energy drinks that they drank in the book, and it was amazing.
I was just going to say that I think, like, this movie in general, like, the adaption sold me when they signed on Nat Wolff to play Q. I just really enjoy him as an actor. I don't know if you guys ever saw Stuck in Love, but he's just, like,
I don't know.
That's one of my favorite movies. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah. And so, and I saw that even before I knew he was going to be in Fault in Our Stars. So, I mean, like, Fault in Our Stars as well. Like, Shailene and Ansel, like, whatever. Like, they cast Nat Wolff, and I'm like, I'm there because, you know, Stuck in Love. So same thing with Paper Towns. He's just a wonderful, budding young actor, and I think if like Cara Delevingne completely sucks, like, he'll just carry the movie.
Great.
This is just more proof that we are the same person, Pam.
We are. We are just separated by many, many expanses.
Many
of water.
Oceans. Yeah.
Many oceans. Much land.
So the next story is Kyle's, another fan favorite.
Yes, this was at the beginning of the week. It feels so long ago now. But Disney cast Emma Thompson to play Mrs. Potts in the Beauty and the Beast live-action remake. And they also
don't forget about Kevin Kline.
And Kevin Kline. I don't... Yeah, him too. Yeah, woo! I'm, like, so excited for this film, because after seeing Cinderella, I know a lot of people were, like, kind of skeptical about another Cinderella remake or another, like, live-action remake, but after seeing it, I was just really, really, really impressed in that.
Ugh, really?
It was... Yes, I loved it. I thought it was just different enough from, like, the original, and but also cinematically unique, in that it made me really interested. I don't know how to explain how much I love Cinderella, but I loved it a lot. And so,
but that's great. People have been really, really positive about it. I'm just like, I'm so against them just redoing the same movie, like, again and again, like, even though it's, but and you know, they say live action, and that's, like, so not true, because it's, like, 90% CG, but I'm not going to get into that now. But no, this does look really good. You know, what I'm most excited about this is that it's penned by The Perks of Being a Wallflower author and screenwriter Steven Chbosky. Chbosky? Chbosky.
Yeah. Chbosky.
I'm thinking Big Lebowski, I think.
Yeah.
Chbosky. And Bill Condon is directing. I think it's a really good team.
And Alan Menken is coming back to do the score. So,
yeah.
I mean, like, come on.
That's the most exciting part.
That is very exciting.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I'm
still concerned that can any of the people they have cast actually sing? But we will find out, I guess.
Emma Thompson, is she going to be a big part? This is a stupid question, but, like, are they going to make her a part, or are they going to make her a woman? Like, what are they going to do with the...
Pot.
Yeah, like, what are they going to do with that?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. It's just, it's going to be really interesting, because how are they going to turn these people into furniture is, I guess, the real question here.
But you know what's really funny? Huh? Like, if you look at the people that they have cast, it's just like, man, like, I didn't even have to, like, see who they got cast as to know, like, oh, they probably picked this person for that role.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but although I will say, like, when they cast, like, Josh Gad, who also, he'll be in it, too. That was part of this week's
as
news, right?
LeFou? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yes. But I thought they were going to cast him as, is it Codsworth, the clock?
Oh, I can see that.
Kind of looks like that a little bit, too. And then, like, I was like, oh, but LeFou, that works, too. So I think, overall, they're being very selective on, mm-hmm. on who they
are. And Luke Evans.
Could go one of two ways. It can go, like, one really, like, really well, like, kind of like how Cinderella went. Or it can be one of those movies where they just cast an all-star cast and they just and that's it. That's basically what they used to bank on success.
I don't know. I think, actually, and again, I'm going to come in with my bias here. I think the worst thing would be if they just make like, oh, look, it's a pretty story. It's the same story, just with real people. Like, I know Emma Watson is amazing and I'm going to watch it and I'm going to like it. But I just want to see something different. You know, I want to believe the cinema being like not just amazed that they pulled off the visuals, but that they not necessarily made a twist, because again, you know, we're talking adaptation, people would hate it if it's too different. But I don't know, I feel like we're at a place now with these remakes and like different versions of stuff where we need to start seeing some different kind of creativity, you know, as opposed to just duplication.
I get it. Yeah, I totally understand.
But this is exciting news.
As long as they can sing.
Yeah, as long as they can sing. I'm sure they can sing. Otherwise, I mean, you know, auditory.
I mean, no. Like, this is my bias because I have a musical background. But, you know, a lot of times people are cast in these films because, as Kyle said, they have the star power. Doesn't mean they necessarily have the voice for it. But, hey, I will give them all the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Physically, they all look great.
Yeah. And, like, you know, maybe they'll go, like, the step further with the adaptation and have different voices doing the singing parts than doing the speaking parts.
I was watching Mulan earlier today, and I had no idea that Mulan's singing voice was different from the acting voice. And I had no idea that the acting voice was the same woman who plays Agent May on S.H.I.E.L.D. I was, like, blown away.
P.S. They can do this seamlessly because Jonathan Taylor Thomas voiced young Simba does not sing I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah.
So
even I know that.
Yeah. You know what? My whole life I felt like was a lie until I learned that fact like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And Leah Salonga does the Mulan singing, and she sings Jasmine as well because she's greatest singer ever in the world.
She is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah. So my story, my first story of the week is it's kind of not a big news story, but I think it's worth bringing up, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on it.
I think it's pretty big. I mean, everyone was talking about it at work when it happened.
Yeah, I guess it's a buzzworthy kind of story. So two New Zealander X Factor judges, I'm sure we all watched the New Zealand X Factor, right? they were fired after they launched into this completely ridiculous, like rants about a contestant. Basically, a woman judge named Natalia Kills just started just and it wasn't even his singing, it was the clothes he was wearing. She called him like cheesy and disgusting, and she said like, you make me sick, and the guy judge who is also her husband was like, you know, you're ripping me off, and he was like comparing him to Norman Bates, and it just got completely ridiculous. And the weirdest thing about the story, because one thing is judges like tearing apart a person's like ability, which all X Factors do that, but it's that they focus so much on his style. And when you look at, like, it's true, the contestant and the judge were wearing practically like identical outfits, but so are like 3 million other men in the world. Like, it's the most generic
outfit.
It's the most generic style of all time, and it's this like kind of vintagey 50s modern like hipster look, exactly like you said. And it was just so bizarre. But so they got fired and everything's fine, and Joe Irvine got cupcakes from Lord, so he's happy. But it's just, it was the weirdest thing. I have no idea where that came from.
I was just astonished when I was watching that video. I was just like, how, like, she even said, I'm ashamed to be here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how do you think that's okay? Like,
I have no idea.
I was doing some research on who this woman was, because I've never heard of her ever. And apparently she's been making music since 2003, and she's been trying to break into the pop business.
But, you know, like, I mean, this might just be the most ridiculous publicity stunt ever, because you know who she is now.
I think so, too. But I will say that I have heard of her before. I've actually seen her in concert. Whoa. And it's really too bad. Yeah, I went to this. Actually, it ties back into Hypeable, because I went to interview Miriam Bryant when she did the Divergent single. Mm-hmm. And it was this really wonderful showcase of, like, up-and-coming women singers. And she was one of the singers that opened. Like, Miriam Bryant was the main event, but they had these two other singers, and one of them was Natalia Kills. She's got a great stage presence. She has a good voice. Like, some of her songs are actually really good. And amongst, like, my music people that I know, like, just, like, my music, avid music listeners, like, she is an up-and-coming artist, or was. And it's just unfortunate now that, like, people are probably only going to remember her for this, even if they check out her music. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so when I heard the story and I saw, like, how much traction she was getting, it kind of made me wonder if it was a publicity stunt too.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. Or, like, it was some kind of induced incident, because it was just so stupid. But, you know, I mean, X Factor in general, we have the Danish X Factor here as well, and the judges are just so rude to these poor people that like, you know, the poor people that come there because they really need some validation of their talent, and they're just ripped apart, and it's like children. They're just constructing this narrative for the audience and basically just destroying people in the process. So I think this sets a really good example that they actually did get fired. And that, you know, MediaWorks was all like, oh, you know, you have to remember this is about the music, and this is about, like, actually, this is a talent competition. And it's such a lie. Like, it's not a talent competition. It's an attention competition. But maybe that'll change. Maybe not. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. So back to Marima for a second news story. You really picked the big ones this week.
Well, I have great taste. Mm-hmm. What can I say? I was surprised no one else jumped on this, but as also huge
You're
Captain
the biggest
America fan, I will take it.
Marvel fan, right here. I think it's appropriate you get it.
Would imagine so, as mm-hmm. I run a comic book podcast. Also, but yeah, so the Captain America Civil War, which is coming in 2016, we got the official synopsis. There was a synopsis that leaked a couple months ago, but that was basically just ripped straight from the comics. So we finally have the official film synopsis, which I'll read because it's real short. Following the events of Age of Ultron, the collective governments of the world pass an act designed to regulate all superhuman activity. This polarizes opinion amongst the Avengers, causing two factions to side with Iron Man or Captain America, which causes an epic battle between former allies. So, I don't know if you guys are, like, familiar with the Civil War storyline or not in Marvel, but it's, like, basically the biggest storyline in the Marvel universe. And Captain America is against this act to regulate mm-hmm. the government act, and Iron Man is for it. So that's where the split happens.
I just still think it's so weird that it's a Captain America movie. Like,
me too.
When Iron Man is as big of a player.
That's what makes me so mad about this. And I talked about this a little on Hero Hype on our recent episode. But basically, in summary, I feel like they should have done Civil War as a kind of Avengers, like, in between solo mm-hmm. film, you know, because otherwise you're taking away a Captain America film, basically, because like half the Avengers are confirmed to be in this film yeah. as in various roles. So yeah, I love the Civil War storyline. I'm really excited to see them take it on, but I just really wish it wasn't a Cap film, because, you know, we get less time with him, so that's sad.
I
mean, but
totally
it's exciting.
Agree.
But it's sad.
I totally
yeah,
agree.
Yeah.
That's like, because he was only signed. They're only signed on for three cat films, aren't they? Like, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
The Seven's only signed like a three movie deal.
Well,
so.
he's signed for less than some of the other people in the Captain America franchise. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess what's good about this synopsis is it's showing, like, that this is going to be directly affected by the events of Age of Ultron, which was nice, kind of how we saw Winter Soldier really affected the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, you know, it's always nice to see those, like, continuity things going through. But I also feel like it's a little early to do this storyline, because what makes it work so well in the comics is that Tony Stark and Steve Rogers are really close. And so it's kind of this heartbreaking thing to see them on opposite sides, whereas in the films they're mainly just antagonistic towards each other, which we saw in that new TV spot for the Avengers that I think we're going to talk about in a bit. So, yeah, I don't know. It just, the timing seems weird, and I don't know. It's all a little, like, bittersweet for me, because I'm really excited to see them adapt it, but I just sort of wish they weren't doing it in this way. And we also had confirmation that filming's starting in April, which we sort of knew, but it's all confirmed, so I'm sure there'll be more news coming out about this once filming starts.
Yeah. Okay, so Pamela.
Right, yeah, so like Merrima teased, one of my new stories is the new Avengers Age of Ultron TV spot. This one was pretty exciting for me, because I think it was kind of the teaser that this movie needed. I mean, like, it doesn't need any help selling itself, obviously, but it was kind of nice to see the Avengers kind of get some action in there, because the last three trailers that we've gotten, that you've just kind of been seeing them get their asses kicked. So this is a little bit more like, oh, look at Flashy. We have Flashy superheroes. Everybody got, like, a little time slot. So whether your favorite is Black Widow or the Hulk, like, your favorite superhero got a little bit of screen time in this new TV spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it was all, like, new footage, which is crazy, because everybody kind of assumed that the last trailer was going to be it, you know, so they wouldn't give too much away. But
it was, cool. It was pretty action-packed.
Yeah. But,
well, like, they haven't.
Yeah,
I guess that's true.
I think most of the stuff they've shown is, like, from the first half of the movie. So I feel like it seems like we've seen so much of it, but there's, you know, the entire plot that we haven't seen. So that's good. It's good balance.
Like Hunger Games when they did that. Yeah. But no, I was going to say that the first character in this was Maria Hill, because I like her a lot and I feel like she's underused. That's it.
Oh, yeah, she definitely is.
Yeah,
I agree.
So moving on to some TV news now, Kyle has some American Horror Story updates.
Yes. So I love American Horror Story, despite Freak Show being, like, the worst season ever. American Horror Story Hotel decided to add Matt Bomer and Cheyenne Jackson onto its regular cast members list. And then they also announced that they're losing officially Jessica, I don't know how to say her last name. Lang?
I think it's Lang.
Okay. That's okay. So I'm just really excited about this, because I loved Matt Bomer in Freak Show for the brief amount that he was in it. And I'm also really excited about Lady Gaga, I guess, being one of the main characters in Hotel. So it's going to be really interesting. I don't think the loss of Jessica Lang is going to affect the show too much, only because in every season of American Horror Story, she's basically played the same character, like just some old, bitter lady, you know? So it's not going to be any different having her not there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for the way that American Horror Story Hotels is shaping up.
Awesome.
When do you guys watch the show? It's premiering October 2015. They don't have a date yet.
I caught a few episodes of Coven, which was the last season, but I've never actually sat down and watched the whole series. It's on my to-do list, but I'm also a bit of a wet blanket, so I feel like it's one of those shows I have to watch in broad daylight.
I feel the same way. I think it's too scary for me.
See, I thought it was going to be too scary for me, because it was like American Horror Story. Oh my god, hell no, because I like hate horror movies. And then I watched it, I was like, oh, it's actually not that bad. But I think that was after I got like numbed by blood on Vampire Diaries. You know?
Yeah.
It's very gory is what it is.
Okay. My story is kind of a sad story, kind of a nice story. So Terry Pratchett, the British author, Sir Terry Pratchett, who has written the Discworld novels and has collaborated with Neil Gaiman He passed away just over a week ago. He was 66 years old, and he had suffered from Alzheimer's for a number of years, but he continued to write until the very end. And it's not really news, this story, because we knew it already, but I guess now it's more important than it was. He has one final book coming out this fall, which actually he did complete before he died, and it's a Discworld novel called The Shepherd's Crown, and it'll continue the story of Tiffany, who is one of the witches. So it'll be a witch-centric book, and I'm just really excited about this because I love Terry Pratchett. He was one of the first authors that I read in English, and the first book I read was Soul Music, which is about the character Death, which is fantastic. And I also, actually, when I was really little, me and my mother used to play the Discworld video game, voiced by Monty Python. And no one knows this. Like, what? This game, it's so good. And
can
nobody
I own that?
Yeah. You Google
it. Where do
I
get it from?
I think you can download it.
Oh my god,
it's so good. It's basically like a point and like a click. I don't know what the term is, but it's basically like you play as Rincewind, the wizard, and you walk around Discworld and you find stuff, and then you have to say you pick up a broom. And then you're like, okay, so the wizard has told me that I need to get, like, candlesticks. So I'm going to go to the broom and I'm going to find, like, a string. And I'm going to put the string on the broom and I'm going to put the broom in the chimney. And the broom is going to, like, dust up some dust. And I'm going to collect the dust and then I'm going to give it. So so basically,
oh my
it's,
goodness.
Like, really complicated.
This is the greatest thing I've ever
it's
heard of.
It's so good.
Point-and-click games,
yes.
And Monty Python and Terry Pratchett.
Exactly! And, like, nobody knows that this exists. And it's such a good game. And there's actually a second one for PlayStation. It's not that good, but I have played that as well. And it's basically, like, all the things you love about Discworld. So it wasn't meant to be a plug for this game, but it is now. But seriously, if like, you guys haven't read Terry Pratchett, he is one of the most fantastic authors of all time. His humor and the way that he sort of just a throwaway comment basically describes, like, the world at large. And you're like, oh, that's why, like, people die or something. So it's really good. And I am very
excited
about this book. Which is your favorite?
I love Terry Pratchett.
Which is your favorite arc?
Well, from Discworld, the Death books are my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
Because, I mean, I kind of feel like that's an easy answer because they're sort of everyone's favorite. But
I like the witch books,
so good.
Too.
Yeah, I really like the witch books. I also really love Good Omens so much. That's a book that he wrote with Neil Gaiman, and I was recommending that to some people because a lot of people when he died were asking sort of where to start, and I know Discworld can seem a little intimidating, and Good Omens can be a really nice way to sort of introduce yourself to his style, and then you will realize that Terry Pratchett is the greatest author of all time, and you will read everything he's ever written. So it's all a trick. But yeah, this is so exciting. And I feel bad because I feel like I've kind of neglected Terry Pratchett in my, you know, older years of my life. I read so much of so many of his books when I was younger. Yeah. So I think I might need to go back and do some rereading.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. And there's still books I haven't read because there's so many of them, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm really excited. Okay, so moving back, actually, Marima, you've got one last story, which is also by an author we all love.
I do. This is a bit of a fun story. It's probably nothing, but we had a little bit of a freak out because there were some photos of some sets at Legion Studios, and we all got super excited, as Harry Potter fans do, because we thought, are these the Fantastic Beasts sets? Are they being built? Is it? No, guys, it's probably the Tarzan sets last year. But hey, you know, the exciting thing is that, like, we're getting so close to this that there was the possibility that it could have been. And that means that soon this will be true. Like, they will be building things and it will be Fantastic Beasts. So I felt like it couldn't be a first episode of hype without a little bit of
Fantastic
Harry Potter.
Absolutely.
Harry Potter something.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this series. And funnily enough, Tarzan is also being directed by David Yates.
Oh,
so
he'll probably just run
a little
back
connection
and forth.
There. I think he must just have a house inside Leavesden by this point. Like, he must just live there.
He runs that town, you know?
Yeah. He is a man. The tiny little
town. Like, real talk, this headline just made me so giddy when I saw it pop up on my Twitter feed. I was like, yay, same. More Harry. It just same. Makes me so happy.
Yeah. I don't know and if anyone's said, told you, Pam, but Harry's not going to be in this. Sorry.
I know. But, you know, just more of that world.
You guys yeah, know I know. You. We know what you mean.
Yeah. And that idea just makes me really, really giddy.
Yay. Same. And warm they fuzzies. Said filming's meant to start in late summer. So that's approaching. That's exciting times.
Gonna get some casting news now.
Yes. And then I'm going to cry when Ben Whishaw is not.
Me too. I mean,
he's perfect.
Imagine if they did cast him.
Oh,
the world would explode.
I know. Gosh. But see, the thing is, like, the two people that I would be like, yes, we'll never get this role.
Bradley James? Yeah, that's
bad. Oh. No, Colin Morgan.
Oh, man. Oh, everyone who's not a Merlin fan is
he's
like,
he's got to be nerd chic, that Newt's commander. You know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, Colin. Ben Whishaw, imagine the magic. I mean, Marima already understands my vision.
Oh, yeah.
It would be beautiful.
I'm so on board with that.
Yes. Make it happen, WB. Yeah. Make it happen.
So hopefully we'll have some casting news to talk about soon, now that things are getting moving with that. But until then, we'll just make up speculation, because that's what Harry Potter fans do. Exactly. We do it really well.
Yeah. Okay, so in a bit of more TV news now, the Walking Dead spinoff.
Yes. So creator Robert Kirkman was at South by Southwest in Austin this weekend, and he kind of finally officially announced, despite the fact that fans have been speculating this for a while, that the Walking Dead spinoff would indeed take place before the full-on zombie apocalypse hits. So Walking Dead fans already know that the actual show picks up with Rick, played by Andrew Lincoln, waking up in the midst of the zombie apocalypse. And this new spinoff will start beforehand.
But it'll still go through the apocalypse, right? So it won't just be like a show.
Yes, so here's the thing. It's actually, they are meant to be standalone. So like, let's just say like you haven't watched like the five seasons of Walking Dead, you can totally pick up with this new spinoff series and watch it on its own. But the idea is that after the first season is what people are speculating. Like, so it's been signed for 6 episodes for the first season, that the show will then converge into the apocalyptic world that fans of The Walking Dead are used to seeing. So this is pretty exciting, because he also said that there might be certain instances where something that you may have seen in terms of a zombie power, or maybe like an event that has happened in The Walking Dead, will come up in this spinoff, and it might explain something that you had a question about before. So there's this quote in the article that's on Hypeable that says, there may be some things that are discovered in the companion show that haven't been discovered in the other show yet. So there could be a thing like where, oh, they encountered a zombie in season 4 of The Walking Dead that could do this, and now we know why that was. So we're going to be able to do things like that are going to be pretty cool. But for the most part, the two shows should be able to stand alone. So that should make fans of the show and the comics pretty happy, I think.
Alicia Debnam Carey is in this. She was in The 100 last season. She had a pretty, pretty great character there. She's a really good actress. And I'm angry that the show is stealing her from The 100, so I hate it on principle. But no, it does sound really cool.
Harsh bias.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, like, and that's coming up, too. So I think we should have the premiere later on this summer. So
it's really exciting.
Yeah.
You know what I really love? You know, some of the really iconic zombies from, like, the early seasons? If they had those actors back and showed them, like, pre-zombie, that would just be really funny.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's what we'll get, because there are some characters that we see at the beginning. Like, at the beginning of the series, Rick takes shelter with this dad and his son, so maybe we'll see them beforehand. Okay. And maybe we'll see even, like, some of the, you know, the main players in The Walking Dead kind of make cameos in this. Like, we don't really know. You know, there's not very much out there, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. And Sleepy Hollow has been renewed.
Yes.
Exciting.
Oh, my goodness. I was, like, so worried about it not being renewed for a third season, because season 2 was pretty shitty. I don't know. Can I say that word?
We'll let it slide.
Okay. Season 2 was admittedly really, really bad. It just kind of hopped all over the place. The focus was on a couple of the characters that fans really didn't like. But the end of season two, I guess the writers really listened to the fans, and they killed the characters that no one liked, and they kind of reset it in a way, in that season three can be like a completely new story, in that they can finally work on the apocalypse and like trying to fix it again, instead of trying to work on all these like family issues that the characters were having in season two. So it's going to be really, really interesting, especially since there's going to be a new showrunner for season three, because the showrunner left at the end of season two. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. A lot of people were worried that it wasn't going to get renewed, because last year, it was renewed after only like three episodes of season one for season two. And so it waited until like a month after season two ended to get renewed now. So,
yay.
But it's back. So, and it's really good. If anyone doesn't watch it, you guys should. You can skip season two. It's okay.
Okay. That's a very strong recommendation there.
I'm gonna back Kyle up here. It was probably my favorite pilot in the season that it premiered for Fox, and it's just it's great. If you like history and you like mysteries and you like supernatural stuff, then you should have been watching that 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
So put that Tom out there.
Yes, Tom Mizen.
I had to add it to the never-ending list. Jesus. So the final story of this week is something that's going to swallow up all of our productivity forever, I'm sure. Nintendo is basically, the story broke last week, and it was a little bit confusing, but we think we've worked out what the story actually is. So Nintendo had a press conference where they announced this new gameplay platform, which may or may not be a console. They also announced that they are developing smartphone games, which immediately made everyone think they could play Pokemon on the bus, which, or maybe that was just me. That's like my dream. It's so sad. But what we figured out is actually that it's not the old games that they're bringing to smartphones. They're developing brand new games for, Androids and iPhones. It's been met with mixed reactions from Nintendo fans, because on one hand, there's been a lot of talk about how Nintendo has, like, for such a long time, sort of refused to dilute its brand, and this kind of feels like they're doing that a little bit. But at the same time, so people are like, want their old games protected, so they're happy that it's not like Mario and Donkey Kong and stuff. Donkey Kong? Oh, yeah, that is Nintendo. I was like, people are going to kill me if it's not Nintendo. I got genuinely scared there. But they're like, those old franchises are protected. On the other hand, I think a lot of people, myself included, were kind of hoping to see that transition to sort of bring the old Zelda games and Pokemon and all of that to a new platform. Because, I mean, And when I say I mean my brother, have a Game Boy, and I can play it, but I'm not going to bring my Game Boy on the... Well, that's a lie. I totally would. But, it would be really cool if you could play on your phone, like, those old games, and it might help, like, kids sort of... Because, let's face it, like, most of those iPhone games aren't that great anyway, so we might as well be playing the classics.
There's some pretty good iPhone games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm addicted to Farm Hero, so...
No, I think that'd be really great. I mean, it's kind of sad that they weren't, like, I figured they wouldn't put their old games onto the iPhone, because then they wouldn't make nearly as much money.
But I think they would, though. No. Like, I think people are much more interested, like, in seeing, like, unless it's, like, a new Mario or a new Zelda, then we would be excited. But if it's, like, completely different concepts that don't really have anything to do with the Nintendo we know, I feel like it'll just be like, I don't know, maybe the games will be amazing. I don't know.
You know what? Even if Nintendo was like, hey, we're going to put old school Super Mario up on the Apple iTunes store and you can buy it for $2.99, like, I would buy that, because endless amounts of entertainment.
Yeah, I would buy that for sure.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people would, like, because I still, like, my brother and I have, like, a really old school Nintendo console with, like, Duck Hunt and stuff like that, and we still bust that out, like, every holiday break. Like, we have epic battles over who gets further. So it is too bad, and that was, like, the only kind of Debbie Downer bit of the story was that there'll be new games, but you won't be able to relive your childhood nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's all we want. Sad. Just nostalgia. Just more of the same. Learn from Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to see it with, like, the really poor graphics that they used to be on the Nintendo games as well. It
was, like, my pixelated.
Yeah, like the little square
my video game prowess. I really peaked with the Nintendo 64. So if we could just go back to that, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, this is just... I'm going to move on after this, but this is just, like, a thing... The DS is not left-hand friendly, so I, like, basically can't play any of the games.
It's not fair.
It's so dumb, and you have to, like, do these little squiggles on the thing, but it won't register your hand, and so you can't play it. And so I was just like, yay, I can play Zelda now, but no.
Left-handed people have it hard, man.
They do.
It's not.
So those are all the news for this week. Exciting stuff. Next week we'll each pick three stories again and we'll talk about them. Moving on now to another new segment, which is TV show of the week. Basically, this is a chance for us all to highlight one episode that's aired in the past week of any show that's worth talking about, either because it was amazing or because it wasn't so amazing. But our goal is to pick, like, a variety of shows, so we'll try not to bring up the same things every week. And Merima doesn't own a TV, so... Okay.
Hey,
no. No, but what I'm saying is she and us, the rest of us, might be talking about a book or a movie instead if we haven't watched a particular show that week. And obviously, as we head into hiatus season, we'll all be doing that as well. So, there you go.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Out.
You're
welcome. I appreciate it.
So, basically, I'm just going to start this off by very briefly. I was actually going to talk about another show, but I'm going to talk a little tiny bit about Glee. Obviously, I'm not the expert when it comes to Glee, and we do, Hypable does have an entire podcast called Glee Chat, which is dedicated to talking about Glee. But the series finale did air a couple of days ago, and it is sort of one of the biggest stories from the past week. Did any of you guys watch it?
No,
I did.
No.
Yes. You did watch it. Great.
I did.
Because you're kind of like me. Like, you haven't really been watching Glee for the past few years, right?
So what happened was I was watching every season up until, like, episode 2 of this past season, in which I just got really fed up with how ridiculous and stupid and weird and dumb it got. And so I was like, you know what? I give up. I, like... It was really sad. It caught me all the way up until the end of the last season, and then I was like, okay, no. Mm-hmm. But as someone who's watched the show for that long, I had to watch the series finale.
Of course, and that's kind of how I felt as well. Like, I only... When Glee first premiered, I thought it was amazing. Like, I thought it was so fun and so different and so quirky and so fresh and just, you know, all of those things. It was like a phenomenon. And I was like, yeah, dancing and, you know, having fun. But I think, because I stopped watching around, I think, season 2 or 3, when they started recycling storylines and they started, like, doing these really convoluted plot lines in order to get people to sing certain songs that they wanted them to sing. And they, you know, all the romances that just everyone, you know, that's always when a show doesn't know where it's going. It just, like, pairs people up randomly and keeps, like, switching out the pairings and stuff. And that just totally turned me off. But I did watch this and it was fantastic. I think it was everything that I thought a finale should be, because it was all about the original characters. And that's actually, like, funny, like, a few people asked me on Twitter whether they could watch it if they hadn't seen the past season. And I think actually it's better if you haven't, because it was all about the original characters. Like, I don't think any of the new characters had a single line. When I say original characters, I mean original cast and Darren Criss. Because he's like, he was even in the flashback episode. But basically, like, I don't think anyone spoke a line and I didn't know their name. I think that the new characters did kind of get their wrap up in the episode before the finale, but at the same time, I think you might be a little bit like, oh, I watched all this and now it's just back to, like, the original five. But I thought it was great. And I think Glee deserves a lot of credit for how they handled the death of Cory Monteith and how they paid tribute to him and just sent off all the characters in style, especially the flashback episode. So I was happy with it.
That moment when they did that performance, or when they went back to that performance with Cory Monteith, I was like, oh. Yeah,
it was really good.
It was heartbreaking. And then it was so funny because, like, it's really true. You can have no idea what has been going on all season or the past few seasons, and you can watch the show and you can be like, okay, I get it. I understand everything that's happening. The only thing that you'll be confused by is at the end when the New Directions are on stage for, like, nationals or something. Mm-hmm. You're like, you look at the cast of the New Directions and you're like, who the hell?
But that's okay.
That?
I think that's the only thing. Yeah,
that's like it's an adequate feeling, because it's like that feeling you get when you graduate high school and then you go back like a year or two later.
Yeah, and there's all new people. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. It's true.
Exactly. So it's actually it's a good thing, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think we watched it the best. I think we got the best experience because we but yeah, so there'll be much more talk about that on Glee Chat, so do check that out if you're a fan of Glee. So Kyle, what show did you watch?
I'm forgetting to unmute my
mic. That's a good show.
Oh, I know, right? It's great. So I'm gonna go ahead and talk about Once Upon a Time, just because it just aired tonight, and it was amazing. And the thing that I like about Once Upon a Time, and the thing that I like in the direction that it's going this season, is that it's kind of
the new direction.
It's a fresh feel, and it's kind of keeping it to the core characters while also having fun with the new ones. You know, like, what I didn't like about the Peter Pan season or the Frozen season is that the emphasis was all about, like, Peter Pan, all about Anna and Elsa. Yeah. And this season, it's really about the core characters looking at themselves and seeing what it really means to be good and what it really means to be evil. And ever since I saw the episode, like, the premiere episode for the season several weeks ago, and, like, got to talk with the creators of the show, I realized what direction they're going in, and I loved it. You know, I like the fact that it's starting to delve deeper into the characters they already have. It's not trying to introduce all of these new characters and kind of, like, figure out what's going on with all of their backstories. Like, while you do get Ursula's backstory this week, you still get plenty of, like, Hooks or, like, Regina's, you know? So I liked it a lot.
Oh, I thought you meant Hooks as in, like, story hooks.
Oh, no.
Just keep hooking you back in.
They do. They really do, though. It's great. It's cool. A great show.
Okay, everyone needs to watch The Flash, because they just had their, like, game-changing episode. It aired last week. The Flash is the Arrow spin-off show that airs on CW with the beautiful Grant Gustin. So if you're looking for something post-Glee to watch, like, he was in Glee, there's totally a link for you. This episode of The Flash, like, I can't overstate this. They literally revealed every question that people have had about this season. Like, the big bad was revealed, the kind of secret identity was revealed, there was this romance, everything happened. It was so exciting. And I'm not going to spoil it for people because, yes, you know, it's been almost a week since it's aired, but this is an episode you really have to watch it. You can't just listen to someone explain it. But the most exciting thing about it... Right. That's why it was so exciting, because it's just it's the 15th episode of the first season. They're still in their first season. And this wasn't a mid-season finale or a mid-season premiere or, like, the season finale or anything. And I think a lot of people were assuming that most of this stuff would not be answered until the season finale. The thing about The Flash is that, this is not a spoiler, but the concept of time travel is interwoven into the story.
Oh, you got
me intricately
there.
So the whole time when you're watching things, you're always like, but are these things gonna last or not? You know, is this gonna stay next week or not? And that's really fun. That's a fun little aspect to it
as
well.
I didn't know it had time travel.
Yeah, it's like that's the whole
totally
point.
Watch
of the
well,
Flash.
I don't know anything about like these superheroes. Yes.
That's okay. Yeah. I got you, Marima. We can talk superheroes.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, this was just such an amazing episode. And also, I would definitely recommend Arrow is a great show, but it took a little while to hit its stride. And because it's the same creators, they've really learnt for The Flash. And so this has been a really solid first season.
Watch it without watching Arrow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I would even recommend that you try Flash first. And then if you like it, you can go to Arrow. And The Flash is a little more fun, a little sillier. It kind of really embraces this idea of it being a superhero show, whereas Arrow tries to be a little grittier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that can work. And sometimes it doesn't work. And, you know, sometimes The Flash is a bit too silly, but it's just fun. And it's such a good show. And, yeah, this was like a game-changing episode for sure for every single character on the show. I still couldn't believe, like, we got like two-thirds of the way through the episode and like 9 major things had happened and it wasn't even over yet. And I was like, what else could possibly happen? And then, you know, they have a huge reveal in about the last 15 seconds of the episode that you just think, how did they possibly pack all of this into this one random ep? So,
wow.
Yeah. It's so, so good right now. That's I think it's my favorite superhero show that's airing right now, and I'm watching most of them. So, yeah, people should definitely check it out.
Awesome. I think I will, actually.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I think you would like it, too.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. So from one CW show to another CW show, iZombie. I'm excited to hear about iZombie.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I think in general, CW has really found its stride
so
again.
Good
like, it's
these
very
days,
touch
yeah.
and go. Yeah, like, the CW, like, over the years, like, they've had some bad programming, but I think now they're starting to get back into the good stuff. And I tuned into the iZombie premiere this last week, created by Rob Thomas, who also did Veronica Mars, which is also another very beloved CW series. If you guys are a fan of Veronica Mars, then you probably already tuned into this premiere, but if you haven't, then you'll really probably like this because it also features a very spunky super sleuth as its main character.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much the story revolves around this medical student named Liv who turns into a zombie. I won't tell you why because I'm not sure if that's a spoiler that people want to be revealed, but you'll find out in like the first 15 minutes of the show. And pretty much after she wakes up and she realizes that she is a member of the undead, she ends up joining a coroner's office, and when she eats her first brain, she realizes that she kind of inherits these dead people's memories. And so the first episode, she realizes that the person whose brain she's eaten has died, so she kind of goes on the hunt to figure out who the killer was.
What show is this reminding me of? There's another show when this woman works in the morgue, and she, like, or a man, and he, like, remembers...
Is it Pushing Daisies?
Yeah, Pushing Daisies.
Right?
He brings them back to life.
Yeah,
solves how they died.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the greatest show ever made, in case you're wondering.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's been so long, but yeah.
So there you go. It's got a little bit of everything, you know, a little bit of every of these kind of quirky shows that people tend to like. So I highly recommend it. I'm really interested to see how this season goes. And
it's True Calling. Sorry, interrupted
you. Is that the new one? Yeah. The one about he's like not.
Eliza Dushku from Dollhouse and Buffy.
Oh,
and she like she worked in a morgue, but she went back in time.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking of.
That is the weirdest show I have ever seen.
I like how we all have this revelation. We're like, oh yeah,
I forgot that
True Calling.
Like at this very moment, that's one of those shows that they show at like 2 a.m. if you happen to be awake, you know, just to like fill in the time.
It's funny. Anyway, sorry I interrupted you.
I was gonna say like the I'm interested to see where they go with this, specifically to see kind of how she progresses as a zombie, because there's a great article on Hypeable right now that kind of talks about the differences between Liv as a zombie and iZombie and like the typical zombies that you're kind of used to seeing, because she's not like rotting and like she doesn't really like doesn't look like she thirsts for blood too much, but she obviously does need to like
she's basically
eat
like a vampire who eats brains.
Yeah, kind of like almost like she can turn it on and off. Like, she can turn on, like, zombie superpowers with, like, boosts of adrenaline and stuff like that. So,
like a vampire.
Yeah. Exactly. So kind of like a little bit TVD, kind of a little bit Veronica Mars, kind of a little bit that random show that we were just talking about.
True Calling.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're a fan of Rob Thomas and Veronica Mars, then you should definitely check this out if you haven't yet. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Great. Perfect. So moving on now to Hot Unhypeable, which is basically just our way of highlighting some of the most interesting original content on Hypeable.com from the past week. Merrimer is on top of that.
Yeah, speaking of Glee, I just wanted to plug, we're going to have quite a few Glee articles going up like Monday and Tuesday at the start of this week. So keep an eye out for that because we have a lot of Glee fans on staff. From the past week, we had so much going on. So we had a whole lot of articles go up for the Insurgent premiere. And like we talked about at the start of the show, one of the articles deals with the differences between the book and the film and maybe some reasons for why those things are changed. So if you have seen the film, you can read the whole thing. And if you haven't seen it yet, there's actually the front page of that is totally spoiler free. So you can check it out as well. And then we have a tour of Chicago from one of our Hypeable staffers who lives out in Chicago where the Divergent series is based, and that's really fun. Like, it goes through all the major landmarks in Chicago and how they're used in the series, and it's got a little map at the bottom, so like theoretically you could go on your own little Divergent tour of Chicago if you felt so inclined. And we also have an interview with Kenan Lonsdale, who played Uriah in Insurgent. Everyone was very, very excited to see him cast. And we've got a cool article with him talking about the fan response and what faction he would be in and all of that good stuff. We also have Freaks and Geeks, Where Are They Now? And the reason for this is because on Rewatchable, which is another one of our Hypeable podcasts, they're actually doing a rewatch of Freaks and Geeks. And there's going to be articles sort of related to that going up each week. So you can kind of follow along, like listen to the podcast, read the articles to find out more about the show. So that's like a fun little side series that we've got going on. And then we had a whole lot of other interviews. We were actually at the Paper Towns trailer release. And so we've got an article on Hypeable with John Green, very exciting, and with Houston Sage, who plays Lacey in the film, and they talk a little bit about the changes and, you know, what they're excited to see in the film and all of that stuff. So if you were into the trailer, you might want to find out a little bit more about it there. And we have an interview with the Mindy Project star, Zosia Rockmore, who plays Tamara on the show, aka like the funniest person on that show, which is a big call because they're all hilarious. And then we also have some interviews for Undateable Season 2 with the cast. And Pam, did you go to set for that one?
Did go to set for that. So I'll talk a little bit about it if you want.
Sure.
Pretty much this show, it's kind of, I feel like they're trying to be kind of like the new How I Met Your Mother, but not in a bad way. If that makes sense. I don't think I sold that very well, but pretty much like this guy who's a perpetual bachelor, all his friends have gotten married and he's like, I'm looking for a new crew to hang out with. And in the process of finding a new roommate, he kind of ends up meeting this really like kind of lovable but unlucky in love, a guy named Justin, and ends up befriending his ragtag group of friends that are all kind of like unlucky in love for different reasons. And this season they added Bridget Mendler, who's like huge in the Disney Channel scene. She's on Lemonade Mouth and Good Luck Charlie and stuff like that. But the show is actually, it's pretty funny because most of the actors come from a stand-up comedy background. And just as a side note, because we went to see like the set and talk to all these people, they also invited us to go to one of their tapings, which they do tape before a live studio audience. If you're in the LA area and you're able to get tickets to go see this show recorded live, you should definitely do that because they do a lot of improv, and I think like they're just super funny people. So it would just be a really cool show to go see if you're a fan of comedy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sounds good.
So we have something for everyone.
Yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff on Hypeable. Hopefully you guys who are listening will go check out some of that stuff. It's on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. So before we wrap up the show today, we will just briefly introduce the Hype Specials, which is going to be another major feature for Hype Podcast going forward. So as you can probably tell from this podcast, there are some things that we are really itching to talk about much more than we did, because obviously we're fans of this stuff and we really want to discuss it in depth. But we also realize that if you're listening to this podcast, you might not necessarily be interested in all the same things that we're interested in. And we've also heard your feedback for the last show that you don't necessarily want us to go into long discussions about stuff you don't care about. So say, for example, when Age of Ultron comes out, we will all go see it and we will all nerd out about it and hype that week would basically probably end up being like 90% Avengers show. But instead, we will do a hype special, which will be released on the same iTunes feed as this podcast and on the website, of course. And it'll be a whole episode dedicated to Avengers. So we'll still discuss regular news on the normal Hype episode that week, and then Avengers fans can also download the other podcast episode to hear our in-depth thoughts. Or if you don't like Avengers or you haven't seen it yet, you don't want to listen to it, you can just not download it. So these Hype specials are kind of like one-off episodes. We won't be doing like weekly shows about Avengers, or I guess you kind of do that on...
Listen to Hero Hype.
Hero Hype, exactly.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Josh, our big movie guy who is not on the regular Hype anymore, he'll probably end up being a lot more involved with these specials. We might bring in special guests or other Hypeable staff members who are super into whatever fandom we're discussing. And I'm excited about this, guys. I think it's going to be fun. I can't wait for the big The 100 premiere special in like 8 months.
That'll be the Selena one-woman show.
So, but seriously, if you guys who are listening want to suggest specials you'd like us to do, please leave a comment or tweet us. We don't have a dedicated account yet for this podcast, but we do have at Hypeable Podcast, or you can just tweet at Hypeable and we'll probably see it there. And in general, as far as listener feedback goes, we really want your input on all the other segments as well. We'd really like for you guys to be more involved with the content of the show. So tweet us what shows you'd like us to talk about, what news stories you have found particularly interesting, and if there's any particularly big fandom events that you're really excited about and want to share a few comments about, then we'll try to put some of those into the show. And I think that's everything for our... 1st/41st episode of Hype. And next week, the DreamWorks Home movie premieres. I think that's kind of the biggest story that I can think of in advance. And who knows, maybe there'll be some casting news or more Mockingjay or Paper Towns or whatever. The big stuff we like to talk about. So let us know what you think about the show and the new format, and if there's anything you'd like to see us adding or taking out or changing or anything, please feel free to send us those suggestions either in the post for this podcast or on Twitter. And please go to hypeable.com for all of your entertainment news. My name is Selena.
I'm Marima.
I'm Kyle.
Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 I love how that worked out.
I can't wait for the True Calling Hype special.
I know, right?
It's
going to
be great. be real great.
No one's ever done that before, I'm sure.
Oh, God. I'm 100% sure there's not a podcast about that show.
I'm trying to think of like a cool podcast name for that, like True Calling You Up on Skype.
True Calling In.
Oh my God, that's much better.
Oh,
there we go. Like
wow.
That. We got it.
Oh God, no editing my ass. I'm totally gonna have to do that.